Today's daf is Shabbos daf Nun Ches. We left off from the bottom of daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis yesterday. We were discussing the Istima, the Gemara quoted a Brisa that Yotzi Isha Bekavel Ube Istima Lechatzer. A woman could go out with a Kavel and an Istima to a Chatzer. So the Gemara says, My Istima. So we said it's a Bizyone. Okay, my Bizyone. So we said it's Kalya Pruchi. That's what we left off with. Kalya Pruchi, Rashi says, A Mitznefes Ketana Laacher Kishuresh, a Kalas Rosha, Vikissa Yesh Saaros Ketana Shiyotzin Chuzli Kishureha. That a woman ties up her hair, covers her hair well. Sometimes there are a few stray hairs that go out beyond the covering. Vehinikran pruche, those are called pruche. Al shemafrichim v'yotzim l'chutz, because they're flying out from underneath her hair covering. Va'agudas l'natachas kishura al yidei mitznefes k'tzara. So they would use some type of thing to tie it down. Kilya means monaso sansaros milates. So the kilya pruche is that which holds those hairs back from coming out. That's the istima. So now says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, two lines from the bottom, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braisa. Gimel dvarim nemru be istima. There are three things, three alachos that are nogea to the istima. Number one, ein ba mishum klayim. It's never going to be a problem of shatness because it's made as felt. It's not really woven together or spun as threads, and therefore it's not going to be considered a beged in regards to the halachos of klayim. So if you look at Tosos says, wait a second. Eimah mishum klayim pirush Rashi mishum shein atavoi. Rashi says because it's not spun as threads. Riva omer de mishum hachiyin lahatir. That wouldn't be enough to be matir mishum klayim. Datnan halavadim asurim neshein shuin. That levadin are aser because they're still considered to be enough of a beged. The process of making them is enough beged-like for it to be considered a beged. El mishum di istima davar kashahu uba davar kasha lo asur rabbanan. He says the mishum klayim. He says it's a different issue. The istima is considered a davar kasha, and a davar kasha is not considered to be a beged. Something that's hard and is not flexible is not considered to be a beged in regards to klayim. It needs to be soft in order for it to be considered a beged. So that's the reason that it's not considered to be klayim according to Tosfos. So anyway, that's the first halacha. There's no issur of shatness by this istima. Shua tavoi v'nos in general is what we require in order for something to be klayim, that all the processes of making the threads have to be done together between the wool and the linen. So that's why it's, but over here it's not klayim because it's hard, says Tosfos. Number two, ve'ena metama binagayim, it's also not metame binagayim, it's not going to be subject to tumas tzaras. We know tumas tzaras comes in many different forms. One of them is on begadim, so this is not going to be considered a beged in regards to tumas negayim. Fractosos, tumas negayim, that's what it's not, that's the kind of tumah that's not makabel. Kashalurim, my year you've been a goyim, I feel the meser sheretz lo metame. If it's not a beged, then it shouldn't even become tame with tumas meis or tumas sheretz. Why are we emphasizing that it's not metame that it's not metame bin negayim? Does that count as a daf yomi coincidence? Pachim ketanim. With Yaakov Avinu being chozer for pachim ketanim. So we'll count it. So the Reis says that it's tell Daniel. Oh, here he is. That it's metame b'meisu v'shratzim from kavul chomer with pachim ketanim. She tahorin b'zav v'tmein b'meisu v'sheretz. So istma she tamei b'zav d'shayich b'medrus kama b'kipa. Anything that if by pachim ketanim that are tahor b'zav are metame b'meisu v'sheretz. So istma which can become tamei from a zav for sure should be tamei b'meisu v'sheretz. So it's a kavul chomer that even though you would think it shouldn't be metame b'meisu v'sheretz because it shouldn't be considered a beged. Nevertheless, through this kal v'chomer, we'll say that it is mekabel tumas mason tumas sheretz. It's only not mekabel tumas negayim. So that's the second halach of this price that has to teach us about this istima, that it's not metam ben negayim. Number three, ve'in yotzin bol rishus harabim, that you can't go out with it to rishus harabim, which is obviously that's our discussion. That's why it's brought over here. Mishum Rabbi Shimon Omer, and then Rabbi Shimon has a fourth halacha that he thought of related to the istima. Af ein ba mishum ataros kalos. It's also not a violation of ataros kalos, says Rashi, They made a gzera against kalos going out with certain types of crowns, mishum tsar, at the very end of Maseches Sota. This is recorded. It's also recorded in the first parak of Maseches Gittin, that after the Churban Habayis, one of the things that we do as a zecher l'churban is we minimize the level of celebration and the level of joy by taking away the ataros kalos. I get shilas about this sometimes. Sometimes the way the wedding gowns are made, or the headpieces, I guess, that are made, is with a band around. So the kalos often are told to ask whether it's a violation of ataros kalos. What counts as an atara, what's not? It's a discussion in the Rishonim. Does it have to dafka be kev? Rambam seems to say that a dafka has to be kesef or zahav in order for it to count as ataros kalos. But if it's made out of cloth, that would not be a violation of ataros kalos. Over here, we're told that this isn't ataros kalos, even though it's obviously something that went around the head. So it's apparently it's not just based on the fact that it goes around the entire head. It has to be a beautiful type of adornment in order for it to be a violation of ataros kalos. This is because of zecher l'churban. We have two separate sugyas in regards to zecher l'churban. You have a sugya in the end of the third parak of Maseches Basra, where the Gemara says, "Imeshka." The Gemara quotes the pasuk of "Imeshka chech Yerushalayim tishkach imini." So the Gemara says that you're not allowed to be shochech Yerushalayim. So the way we remember Yerushalayim is we do a whole bunch of things as a zecher l'churban, like we leave an ama al ama in any house that we build. Not any house that you buy, any house that you build, you're supposed to leave an amma by an amma unfinished as a zechel l'chorban, or we leave a little bit of jewelry out when a woman is making up her jewelry or her tachshitin, whatever you want to call it, her perfumes. She leaves one thing off, one thing missing from the table. All these different efer makla barosh chasanim, the ashes on the head of the chasan under the chuppah, right? All of these are zechel l'chorban. There is another sugya, Maseches Rosh Hashanah, where the Gemara says that tzion hi doresh ein la, as the pasuk says, the Gemara darshins mechlal d'bay drisha, that we lament that there's no one being Doresh Tzion. So you see from there that we're supposed to be Doresh Tzion. And that's why Lulav Nital B'Medina Kol Shiva Zecher L'Migdash. We take Lulav even outside of the Beis HaMikdash for all 7 days, even though Midar Reis outside of the Mikdash, Lulav Mitzvah Dar Reis is only take Lulav the first day of Yom Tov. In the Mikdash it's 7 days, but outside it's only one day. We take all 7 days Zecher L'Migdash. So Soloveitchik pointed out that it's very unusual to have with the same din that has two different sugyas that use two different psukim to darshan the same din. That they're both darshaning this idea that you need a zecher l'migdash, except one quotes a pasuk of imeshkachech, and the other one quotes a pasuk of tzion hi doresh einla. So he points out that you have to say that these are two different dinim. That there's one din of doing what he calls a zecher l'migdash, which is the way the Gemara calls both of these dinim. But he says one din that is a zecher l'migdash to remember what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. That's lulav nitl b'medina kol shiva. In order that we shouldn't forget how things used to be when there was a Beis HaMikdash, we keep certain mitzvos the way they were when there was a Beis HaMikdash, even though that's not the halacha anymore. But then there's a separate thing called zecher l'churban. And it's not a zecher to how things went in the Mikdash. The chasanim didn't have ashes on their head. Kalas did have ataros on their head. So we're not doing things as a way the same way they did them when there was a Beis HaMikdash. We're remembering the churban by dafka doing things differently, by showing that our lives aren't the same now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Those are the two separate dinim. So ataros kalos is part of this din of zecher l'churban. It's not part of zecher l'migdash. It's part of the din of zecher l'churban. Anyway, that's the fourth potential halacha relating to this type of headgear that holds in all of the hair. Now the Mishnah had said that a person is not allowed to walk outside with a kavla. So in yesterday's daf we learned the sheet of Rabbi Avo that a kavla is a small woolen cap, and certainly if a kavla is usher for a woman to walk out with a woolen cap, then certainly if a slave would have a patch that identifies them, that would also be usher out of concern that the slave would end up carrying it. Today's daf, we we learn that it's second shita in terms of what the Mishnah is referring to when it says kavla. Again, yesterday we said that Rabbi Avo holds a kavla is this woolen cap that a woman would wear, and therefore obviously the patch of a slave would also be aser. But Shmuel says the second shita. Shmuel amar kavla di avda tnan. Shmuel says kavla means the slave's patch that identifies him. It's like a doggy tag except it was patched onto the clothing, sometimes worn around the neck, like a soldier will wear. So that's a kavla da avda. That's what it identifies who he belongs to. That's what the Mishnah is talking about, that you're not allowed to walk out with on Shabbos. Frek the Gemaru, Miyamar Shmuel Hachi. Does Shmuel really hold you not allowed to walk out with such a thing on Shabbos? Vamar Shmuel, Yotze Eved, Bechosim Shabbat Savaro, Avalo Bechosim Shabbat Ksuso. Didn't Shmuel say that an Eved is allowed to go out with the Chosim around his neck, just not the one that's on his clothing? So don't you see that if it's around his neck, Shmuel apparently holds that it's okay, and even though that's a Kavla da Avda? And so the Gemara Lo Kasha. Hada avid rabbi, hada avid ihu lenafshe. The difference is if his master made it for him or he made it for himself. When his master made it for him, so then there's no concern with him going out with it on Shabbos because he's never going to take it off. I mean, the whole concern is that he might remove it, he might end up carrying it, but if it's something that his master made for him, he's never going to want to remove it in the first place. But when it's avid ihu lenafshe, so then no one's forcing him to wear it, and therefore he's more likely to take it off. If you look at Tosos, hadavid ihu lenafshe kashal rashba, I may sharia masnisin b'david ihu lenafshe b'chatzer, kiven deleka k'pei de derabo. So then why in the chatzer is it okay? We said in the Mishnah that even though Nevet is not allowed to go out with his kavla, in the chatzer it's okay. So why is it okay in the chatzer if there's no k'pei de what whatsoever, and no one cares if he removes it, shouldn't it be also in the chatzar also? V'yishlomer di'ika k'tsas k'peida. Aval kol kach k'mo b'avalei rabbe. Now you have to say that the owner is makbid a little bit about it. I mean, even though the owner never forced him to wear it, he does appreciate the gesture that the Eved makes this public declaration of who he belongs to, and if the Eved were to remove that, the owner would be somewhat uneasy about it. He wouldn't get upset, he never asked him to put it on in the first place, but it would be somewhat uneasy about it, and therefore the Eved is somewhat hesitant to take it off. So that's the difference. So says Gemara, "B'mayu kimta lahad Shmuel." So what did we say Shmuel is talking about when we said that Yotzev b'chalsh shabat savar avlo b'chalsh shabat ksuso davle rabbe? Right. So we said Shmuel was talking about when the master made it for him. That's when we say he's allowed to go out b'chalsh shabat savaro, but not the one that's on his clothing. Well, b'chalsh shabat ksuso on my low. Well, then why not the one that's on his clothing? I mean, if the whole point is that when the master makes it from him, he's never going to remove it. So why can't he walk out with the emblem that's sewn into his clothing? He's never going to remove it. The master made it for him. So there should be no concern whatsoever. And says the Gemara, we're not concerned he's going to remove it. What we're concerned is that it's going to fall off, and then he's going to get terrified to walk around without it. Dilma mifsik omirtas omikbalei omachasai akaspei. We're afraid it's going to fall off, and he's then going to try to cover up the place where it was by folding over his talis over that area, by folding his clothing in such a way that it should cover the spot on the garment where this used to be attached, because he's afraid that that the master is going to see him without it. So makbalei says Rashi, he doesn't want that spot, that empty spot on his beged, to be visible. He doesn't want people to realize that it fell off. Now, when a talus is worn in an unusual way, folded over on his shoulders in an unusual way, in a way that's not normal to wear it, that's considered to be a masui. That's considered to be carrying, and that's why the eved would not be allowed to go out with the chosum shebeksusam. So, because Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, like Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef taught, Dam Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Am Rav Yochanan, Hayotze Betalus Mukupelas, Umenachas Lok Sefa, Bishabis, Chayev Chatos. If a person goes out with a folded talus over his shoulders, he's Chayev Chatos, because it's not considered a Tachshit unless you're wearing it in the normal way, only if it's only a Malbush, if you're wearing it Kederach Malbush. But if you're not wearing it the Derech of a Malbush, then it's just a Masli, then it's like carrying anything else, and the person will be Chayev Chatos. V'chiyad Amr Le Shmuel, L'Rav Chinin Bar Shila. And it's just like Shmuel said, T'Rav Chinin Bar Shila, that Kulu Rabbanu, the Beresh Kulusa, Lo Lefku B'Sar V'Li Chasimi, L'Var Minach, that all the Rabbanan of the Reish Galusa should not go out with their with the emblems on their cloaks, except for you, who they're not makbid. The Reish Galusa is never makbid about you. If you have it or if you don't have it, the Reish Galusa doesn't care. What do you mean, Rabbanan? Were avadim? Why are the Rabbanan going around with emblems on their shirts, on their talisos? So says Rashi. Yeah, the Reish Galusa, who was a political figure, was a political authority, would make sure that all the Rabbanan that are Shaykh to the Reish Galusa would have some sort of mark that would show that they work for the Reish Galusa, that they're under the authority of the Reish Galusa. So if that type of emblem would fall off of their clothing, concern is they'd be afraid to be caught without it, and they would fold over their talus in a way to cover up that part of the beggar. That was exactly the same concern. The Ritva doesn't think that that's pshat. He doesn't think that they would have to walk around like an eved. The Rabban Mamish had to walk around like a vadim with a thing, an identifying tag on them. The Ritva says, no, what happened was, this was a tax collection issue. The Reish Galusa would take a sales tax on every single beggar that was sold, and when the tax was paid, they would make a simon on the beged that the tax was already paid. So they were, and if you were caught without the simon on the beged, they'd confiscate your beged from you because they would assume that you never paid the taxes. So that's what they're saying, that all the Rabbanon were not allowed to go out with the simon on the beged that it was paid, because they'd be afraid that if it fell off, they would try to cover it up. Except for you, except for this Rav Chinina Bar Shila, who apparently must have had a very good relationship with the Reish Galusa, must have been a powerful man in his own right, and therefore he had less to be concerned in terms of the Reish Galusa. But that's how the Ritva understands. That's how the Ritva understands this item that the Rabban de Beit Reish Galusa used to wear. Okay, Gufa. Amar Shmuel, Yotzei Eved b'chosam shebetzavaro. So Shmuel had said that an Eved is allowed to go out with a chosam around his neck, aval lo b'chosam shebeksuso. The only thing he's not allowed to go out with is the chosam that's on his clothing. Now Rashi, right off the bat, Yotzei Eved b'chosam shebetzavaro, Rashi points out, u'b'sheltit d'lo kapita leila suye, that even though we haven't even brought up this factor yet, we're assuming right now that we're talking about a chosam that doesn't have any intrinsic value. The value is in not getting caught without it, but in the sense that it's a piece of lime, it's a piece of plaster, it's not worth anything on its own. The imishum demirtas meichor v'nafkamina mishum emasa derabe lo meis lebiade dalav hochachi hida'avdus el k'sheshen al tzavaro b'ksuso. So, and you don't have to worry that the guy is going to pick it up if it falls off, because if it falls off, picking it up doesn't help. It only serves as a chosam when it's around the neck or when it's around the when it's on the beged. So Shmuel says the eved could go out with the chosam shebetzavaro, aval lo b'chosam shebeksuso, but he can't go out with the chosam shebeksuso. We have a brace that says exactly like this. He can go out with the thing around his neck, but not with the chosam shebeksuso. Uriminhu, but we'll ask a stira. Lo yetzei eved b'chosam shebetzavaro v'lo b'chosam shebeksuso. We have a brace that says that the eved is not allowed to go out even with the chosam tied around his neck, hanging around his neck. So how can Shmuel say that he's allowed to go with it as long as it's hanging around his neck? He's just not allowed to go out when it's on his clothing. Bryce says explicitly he's not allowed to go out in either case, when it's around his neck or when it's on his clothing. Now we're going to quote the rest of the Bryce as well, but that's the line that bothers us. That's the line that we have a kasha from. So the Bryce continues, v'zevezeh in mekablum tumah, and whether it's around his neck or whether it's on his clothing, it's not mekabel tumah, because it's not made, Rashi explains, Linoi, and therefore it's not considered a tachshit. So it's not mekabel tumah. Even Rashi points out, even though the later on the Gemara is going to say in answering the stira between Shmuel and the Brisa, we're going to say that the Brisa is talking about a metal chosam that has some intrinsic value, but still it's not made linoi. It's made as a gnai for the guy that he's under the rulership of someone else. He's meshubat to somebody. So even though it's made out of some nice material, it's still not considered to be a tachshit. It's still considered to be a gnai for the person. So it's not mekabel tumah at all. And the Brisa continues, v'lo b'zug shebetzavaro, aval yotzehu b'zug shebekesuso. The Eved also should not walk out with a bell around his neck, but he can go out with the bell on his clothing. V'zeh v'zeh mekablum tumah. And the bells are mekabel tumah, because that's considered a tachshit. V'lo, it used to be more common to have bells on clothing. V'lo teitze behema lo b'chosim shebetzavaro, v'lo b'chosim shebekesusa. And the behema is not allowed to go out with the chosim shebetzavara, nor with the chosim shebeksusa, v'lo b'zug shebeksusa, v'lo b'zug shebetzavara. And also, he's not allowed to go out with a bell on its clothing, nor with a bell around its neck. V'zeh v'zeh in mekabel tumah. And none of those things are mekabel tumah. Now, why is he not allowed to go out with any of these things? Why is the behema not allowed to go out with the chosim, with the zug, with any of these things? So says Tosus, the mechzi commander azil lichingo kidepirish bekuntros. Rashi explains, and Tosus agrees, that it's because it looks like you're taking it out to the marketplace when it goes out all dressed up with these things. So Tosfos just expands on that. The problem cannot be an issue that we're afraid it's going to fall off and then you're going to pick it up and start carrying it. Because previously we already discussed the bell on an animal, and we said that the reason the animal can't wear a bell is because we're afraid that because we think it looks too much like you're taking it out to the market. Now, if there was a more fundamental problem that it might fall off and then you can come to carry it, we should have mentioned that at that time. So that's when it comes to the animal. But anyway, bottom line is we have a question from this Braisa, because on the one hand, Shmuel said that an Eved is allowed to go out with the chosam shebetzavaro, but the Braisa said the Eved is not allowed to go out with the chosam shebetzavaro. So says Gemara, lema hadavale rabbe, hadavale ihulanafshe. Maybe we could say that that's the differences between whether his master makes it for him or whether he makes it for himself, whether he's allowed to go out with it or not. Maybe that resolves the stira. Says Gemara, lo, that's not how we resolve the stira. They're both talking about a case where the master made it for him. Now keep in mind, we said if the master made it for him and it's on his clothing, he's going to want to always cover it up. He's going to be afraid to take it off. But over here, we're not concerned that he's going to take it off. If it's Avodei Rabbe, he won't take it off. Avodei Lenafshe, he might take it off. Avodei Rabbe, he would never take it off. So why would it possibly be usher to wear around the neck? The kan b'shal matechas, the kan b'shal tit. Because one is talking about when it's made out of metal, the other is talking about when it's made b'shal tit. Shmuel said that he can go out with the chosim shebetzavaro because he's talking about when it's made out of plaster. So if it falls off, so it's no longer useful. See, we're not worried that he's going to come to carry it. But if it's made out of metal and it falls off, he's afraid the master's going to get upset at him that he lost a valuable item. Forget about the show of allegiance to the master by wearing it. That's not his primary concern right now. He's going to be concerned that he's going to lose this item that has some value. Like Rav Nachman Amar Rav Avuah said, that's something that the master is makbid about, that it shouldn't get lost, the Eved shouldn't go out with, because then if it falls off, it might get lost. The Eved might carry it so that it not get lost. But something that the master doesn't care about the item itself, he's only worried about the allegiance, but he doesn't care about the item itself, so then you're allowed to go out with such an item, because again, you're not going to take it off because the master cares that you don't take it off, and if it falls off, you're not going to pick it up because he doesn't care about the intrinsic value of the item. Hachinami mistavrin, it's most mistavrin to say that the Braisa that has a problem with going out with the chosam al tzavaro is talking about a metal chosam midiktani, from the fact that the Braisa continues and says zeveze in mekablin tuma, that neither of them, neither the chosam shebet tzavaro or shebet ksuso, are mekabel tuma. It's got to be talking about metal. Why? Then I understand why you need to tell me a chiddush that it's not mekabel tuma, because kalim made out of this very same material, made out of metal, are mekabel tuma. So you tell me, no, the chosim doesn't have a din of a kli, so it's not mekabel tuma. But eliam b'shal titran, but if it's made out of mud, it's made out of plaster, haniu de lo mekabel tuma, kalim de tu mekabel tuma. What's the chiddush that the chosim is a mekabel tuma? Even if you fashioned a kli kli out of this material, it would not be makabel tumah v'tanya. We have a brisa that tells that explicitly. Klei avanim, klei galalim, klei adama, ain makabel tumah. Lo mi divrei Torah, v'lo mi divrei sofrim. Kelim made out of galalim is animal excrement out of avanim, out of stone, which obviously these kelim were very popular in the mikdash, or in times when people observed tumah and tara, because you would dafka one of it. I was just in the Jewish Museum on Sunday with my wife because someone told us to go there, and there are very few interesting things. I mean, they have Kisvei out of the Rambam. That's interesting when you see the Rambam's writing where he crosses things out. I was trying to read what he crossed out. You know, when the Rambam crossed something out, you think he thought, I wonder how many, you know, if I cross this out, seven fewer Svarim are going to be written, you know, in the course of history. It's every word of the Rambam. But anyway, so one of the things they have a lot of Klei Avanim there. They said that Jews in ancient times would always have a lot of Klei Avanim because they were worried about Tumentara, and they don't become ritually impure. So anyway, so these kelim are not mekabel tuma. Lo mi divrei Torah, lo mi divrei sofrim. So ela shvamina shel matecha shvamina. So obviously, it's not talking about if it's made out of tit. If it were made out of tit, there wouldn't be any great chiddush to tell me that it's not mekabel tuma. So it must be that it's talking about metal, and that must be how we resolve everything. So when all the dust settles, we had a long conversation over here, but what comes out at the end? So it turns out as follows: the Gemara, after discussing all this, the following conclusion about Shmuel's opinion seem to be clear. Number one, if the slave wears a patch around his neck, he can go out with it if the patch was made by the master, because he would never remove a patch that was made by the master. But if the Evan made it for himself, he cannot go out with the thing around his neck, because he would remove something that he made for himself. The Gemara just clarifies that even if his master made it, the servant cannot go out with it if it's made out of metal. Meaning he's allowed to go out with it if the master made it, because he's not going to remove it. But if it's made out of metal, he's not allowed to go out with it because Davar Makbar Rabo and Yotzenbo, because he's going to come to pick it up to want to bring it back so that it not get lost. That's rule number one. If the slave, rule number two, if the slave wears the patch on his clothing, if it's not around his neck, it's on his clothing, so then he cannot go out with it even if it was made by his master, not because he's going to take it off, but because if it falls off, mirta sumikfale, he's not going to pick it up, it has no value, but he may readjust his clothing in a way that's an unnatural way to wear clothing, and that itself is a violation of otzah. He's going to want to readjust his clothing to hide the fact that it's missing, and wearing clothing in this unconventional way is a violation of carrying on Shabbos. So it's really two very simple rules. It was just a complicated discussion. There's Chosum Shabbat Savaro, which if he made it himself, there's no concern. We're worried that he might remove it. If his master made it, and it was made out of metal, we're worried that if it falls off, he'll pick it up. If his master made it and it was made out of tit, we're not worried that he's going to take it off, nor are we worried that if it falls off, he'll pick it up. And if it's a patch on his clothing, he can't go out with it no matter who made it, because we're afraid that he's going to adjust his clothing as a result of it falling off, and that's going to be a violation of Hotza'ah. Good, next conversation. Now, the Gemara now is going to analyze a brisa that speaks about bells worn by people and by animals. We already quoted this brisa. The brisa, once it was talking about these other things, so it speaks about bells as well. So, Amar Mar, so the most, we're going to have a long discussion about bells right now. Amar Mar, v'lo bezug shebet savaro, avil yotzei bezug shebet ksuso. That he can't go out with a bell around his neck, but he can go out with the bell on his clothing. Zug shebet savaro, amai lo, why not the bell around his neck? Dilma mifsik vasil yisuye, because we're afraid it's going to come off, and he's going to come to carry it. You know, I saw in Chashuk Echemer, Zilberstein discussed what about a soldier with his tags that says his blood type, and it says, you know, important information about him, his ID. So is he allowed to go out a chayal? Is he allowed to go out like that on Shabbos? So he said that's probably mutter because of pikuach nefesh. So that's a different hat there. I mean, whether it falls into this category of zuk shabbos avara, that if it comes off, he is likely to carry it. So maybe it should be included in the gezerah, but for pikuach nefesh, we're not going to make such a gezerah. Zug shebeksuso nami lechashul mivsek vasilusay. So, frankly, Gemara, why should a bell on the clothing be any different? Shouldn't we be worried that if it falls off, he's going to come to carry it? And we're talking about that it's sewn in very well, so we're not worried that it's going to fall off. Similar to what we said in yesterday's daf, that anything that's woven, we don't make exer. Why not? Anything that's tied in really tight, that's not going to fall off, we're not going to make any such gazer. So if it's sewn into the clothing extremely well, there's no reason to assume that it might fall off. Amar Mar, we also said in regards to a behema, lo teitzei behema, lo b'chosum shabasavar, v'lo b'chosum shabaksusa. A behema is not allowed to go out with a chosum around its neck, nor on its clothing. And v'lo bezug shebetzavara v'lo bezug shebeksusa, and also not with a bell around its neck and not with a bell on its clothing. And remember, we said Tosafot pointed out that, and Rashi pointed out that this is because it's going to look like you're going to the market with the animal. V'zevzein mekabel tuma, and neither of these are mekabel tuma. So frankly, Gemara on the Kabbalah's tuma side of things, v'zug de behema in mekabel tuma, is a bell on an animal really not mekabel tuma? Or a minu I'll ask you stira zug shel behema Tameya, Vishal Delas Tahara, the bell around of an animal we say is considered to be Tame, the bell of a Delas, of a door, as Rashi says, Delas Mukhuba Labayis, who Shahu Chibra Lakarka, Ve'eno Kli Lakabal Tuma. So the bell on a door is not going to be Tame because it's attached to the door is attached to the house is attached to the ground, so it's all considered Mukhuba Lakarka. So it's not going to be Makabal Tuma. Vizug Asula Batil Legabe, the bell on the door is considered batal to the door, and therefore it's not going to be mekabel tuma. But the bell of an animal is mekabel tuma. What if you make a bell for one of the for an animal, you switch it for, and use it for a door, or vice versa? So shaldelas vasol the behema tmeya. If you originally made a bell for a door and therefore it was tahar, and then you switched it to use it for a behema, so now it is going to be tame. Why, says Rashi, tmeya mikanu laba vav pidlov bemaisi? Even though you didn't do anything to change the bell, and normally you would think in order to change its status, you would need to do something to it other than just designate it for a different use. All you did is that you thought you want to use it for a door instead, and you just hung it by the door, but you didn't actually do anything to change the bell itself. Still, it's now going to be Tameh. Why? An important concept. In order for a Kli to become Tameh, to become susceptible to Tuma, all you need is Machshava. Let's say you're making a chair, and you made a stool for seats, you didn't make the back of the chair yet. So if you plan still on making it, it's not a complete kli in your mind because you're planning on making a chair, so it's not mekabel tuma. But as soon as you have a machshava that I want to use it as a stool, not as a chair, so that's enough. It's already yorid lidei tuma just with machshava alone. It can become it could be considered a kli just with machshava alone. Shel behema vasal adels. What if it's the reverse? You made it shel behema, so it was able to be mekabel tuma, and then you changed it to use it for a door. So, even though you attach it to the door really well with nails and everything, so you might think that's considered a maisa that you've done to change it, and therefore it should now no longer be tamei. It's still tamei. Says Rashi, the only way it's chibur, that attaching it does anything to it, is if you make a change to the bell itself. Hanging it on the door is not a change to the item itself, and therefore it still retains its tuma status that it had before. Shekol HaKelim, because here's the rule. All Kelim, Yardin L'dei Tumasan B'machshava, Ve'inol L'midei Tumasan Ella B'shinu Meisa. All Kelim can go into the Parsha of Tuma with Machshava alone, but in order to leave the Parsha of Tuma, you need to do an actual Meisa on them to make something that was able to be Mekabel Tuma no longer able to be Mekabel Tuma. Bottom line is, we have a kasha over here, though. What did we say? That we had a brisa that said that a behema, that the zug is not mekabel tuma. So we said, but over here it says the zug shel behema is mekabel tuma. And the whole discussion just is, if you change it to a door, or change from a door to a... But the whole premise of this entire discussion was zug shel behema is mekabel tuma. So that's the kasha. Says more lo kasha. Hadi isla inbal, hadi lasla inbal. It all depends whether the bell is just a metal thing shaped like a cylinder, or it actually has a clapper inside that makes noise. So if it has the clapper inside, so then it's going to be considered something that is mekabel tuma. Because and if it doesn't have the clapper inside, it's not a mekabel tuma. So frakling mar manfshach imanahu. If it's considered a kli, why does that make a difference? Avul pi delesle inbal. Then even if it doesn't have the clapper, it should still be considered a kli. Ilav manu. If it's not considered a kli, inbal mashvile manu. What? Just because it has a clapper inside, it's going to become a kli? Why? Meaning what we're assuming right now, that if it's a kli, what makes it a kli? The fact that it's nice, that it's decorative, that it's a tachshit. Well, you don't even see the clapper inside so much. So what if it's it's a tachshit, it's a tachshit. Why should the inbal make a difference and all of a sudden make it into a tachshit if it wasn't considered a tachshit beforehand? So why should that matter? As the Gemara in, it does matter. It does make all the difference. Could Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni Amar Rav Yonasan, like Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni Amar Rav Yonasan taught us, Amar Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni Amar Rav Yonasan, minayin l'mashmiya kol b'kli matchos, shu tamei, how do I know that if a metal kli serves the function of making noise, that if it's mashmiya kol, that it's tamei, shenemar, because the Pasuk says, kol davar asher yavo be'esh, taviru be'esh. By the clay midyan, the Pasuk says, any davar asher yavo be'esh, taviru be'esh, needs to go through some sort of tara process. So what do we dar? Why called davar? Shouldn't just say kol asher yavo be'esh taviru be'esh? Anything that was used be'esh, you should pass through fire. No, says the Gemara, afilu dibur yavo be'esh. Even dibur is yavo be'esh. Meaning, even if a kli's sole function is dibur, is that it speaks, meaning it makes noise, that's enough for it to be considered a kli. So the bell, if it has a clapper inside of it, speaks. It makes noise, and that's enough for it to be considered a kli. Now, if you look at Tosos called Davar Asher Yavo, says Tosos Alfagav the High Kral Lolagabe Tumuksiv. Problem, only one problem over here. That pasuk is not describing what's tame and what's not tame. So how does that serve as a source for anything? Elagabe Hagola. What's that pasuk about? It's about Hagolas Kelim. Well, Hagola has nothing to do with tuma. If let's say you have a blech, a pshute klimatech, something that's klimatech is a bad example. But let's say you have something that's not a kli per se. It has no base kibble. It's not a kli, but it has tam of non kosher food in it. So you can't cook on it. You can't put kosher hot food on it. Nothing to do with tuma. It has to do with the fact that there's tam of non kosher food in it. The kol davar she yavo beish tavir beish is the Torah's way of saying kibolo kach polto. That when something absorbs tam in with a certain degree of heat, you need that same degree of heat to remove the tam of the non-kosher from that kli. Nothing to do with tumah. This is a yardeya din. It's not a tumentara din. This is a din in kashrus. So how does that teach us what's considered a kli, what's not? So he says, even though it's the gabei agala, mistavra says tosus tahasam ein dibur malu morid. But then why would dibur matter? Meaning, if we're talking about kashrus, we're talking about whether it has tam of treif in it, why would it matter if it makes noise or it doesn't make noise? V'imeinu inyan lagala, teneu inyan l'tuma. So we do have a concept in darshaning in general, imeinu inyan, teneu inyan, that if something doesn't make any sense in the context in which it appears, we can apply it to a different context. So this makes no sense in the context of tam in kalim, because why should the fact that it makes noise have any bearing whatsoever on whether it has tam of non-kosher food in the kelim? So we say a main union for that. So we'll tenayu union legabe halachos of legabe the halachos of tum and tara, what's considered a kli. Fine. So says Gemara. So b'mayu kimta b'dles liinbel. So when did we say that it's not going to be mekabel tuma? That the behema's bell is not going to be mekabel tuma? That's only when it's less liinbel. That's what we said Shmuel was talking about, or the Brisa was talking about. But the less liinbel when it doesn't have a clapper. Ema mitziyasa. But that same Brisa went on to say v'lo bezug shebet savaro aval yotzehu bezug shebet suso v'zev v'zev mekabel tuma. So same Brisa said that you don't go around with the zug around the neck, but you can go out with the bell on its clothing, and zev is a mekablin tumah, and they could both be mekablin tumah. But if you say the whole Brice is talking about that it doesn't have a clapper, idelas leimbel mi mekablin tumah, if it doesn't have a clapper in it, should it be mekablin tumah at all? Or a minhu ha'osas zug in the machteshes. If a person made a bell for machteshes, for grinding up different spices, why would they have a bell for grinding up different spices? So very unusual. But Rashi points out, we know this from the Beis Hamikdash, shemefatmin basam manim lahaktir lereach dekaim lebekrisus shakol yafal lebesamim, that they assume that kol was yafal lebesamim, that having noise, the reverberations of the noise somehow were good for the besamim when you would grind up the besamim. So if you made a bell for that purpose, ula arisa, or you made for the bells for the crib of a child to calm the child when the child wants to go to sleep. What do they call it? The thing that goes round and round and makes noise. You know, yeah, the mobile, right? So you make that so they made bells for the child, or they made it for the covers of svarim. unbelievable. This is an ancient minhag that we have, that we make bells around Sfarim. So why in the world would they make bells around Sfarim? Where did this minhag come from? Bells, of all things, we put on a Sifrei Torah, we have things with bells hanging down. So what's it about? Says Rashi, the mitzvah of Sfarim, k'shenosu l'son l'beis ha-knesses, sh'atinokosh l'beis rabin korin sham, m'kash k'shen ha-zagin v'atinokosh shavun u'bayin. The sign for the kids to come in from recess and get back into the classroom because it's time to learn was when they would bring the Sfarim with the bells, the kids would hear the bells ringing, and there was it was the school bell and the bell on the Sfarim at the same time. They would hear the Sfarim are coming, and they would know that as soon as the Sfarim are there, they're expected to be there, and they have to come and learn also. Tinokos, some type of bells that children wear on their bibs or on their clothing, also that was common. So Yeshlem in Baltimore, we said if it has a clapper in these bells, then they're Tameh. Elam in Bal Tahar. If they don't have a clapper in these bells, then they're Tahar. Nitbalu in Balayan, Adayin Tumasan Aleyan. Now, if the clapper is taken from it, so then they still retain their Tumah status. So says the Gemara. Don't you, so that's the kasha. Meaning we said if it doesn't have an inbal, is it makabel tuma? We see over here that it's not makabel tuma if it doesn't have an inbal. If it doesn't have a clapper. And so Gemara hanimili b'tinok to the kala avidai. That's when it comes to a tinok where the whole point is for the noise. Avol gadol takshatu lay afal gavdales le inbal. But by a gadol, it's the point is that it's not so much for the noise. It's for the decorative value of it, and it has decorative value even if it actually does not have a clapper in it. So by the child it has no value if it doesn't have the clapper in it. By the adult it does have value. So in the end of the day, when all the dust settles from this sugya, the Bryce had said lo bezuk shebet savar al yosi bezuk shebet suso. Servant can't go out with a bell around his neck because if it falls off he's likely to pick it up and carry it, but he can go out with a bell attached to his clothing because it's sewn in really, really well. We're not afraid he's going to carry it. Bryce said an animal can't go out with a zug shebet savar nor with a bezug shebeksusa, and the Gemara concludes that a bell can become tameh in two possible ways. If it's a bell whose function is to make noise, like the bells on the svarim and the bells on the children, and the cowbells, then it can only be mekabel tuma if isli in both, the clapper's inside of it. If the bell is purely for decoration, it's purely for a takshit, like the bell that an adult wears on his clothing, it's mekabel tuma whether it has a clapper inside or not, because the clapper doesn't change the function of such a bell. That's the maskana. So now the final sugya of today's daf, which carries through the entire Amud Aleph of tomorrow's daf, is an analysis of one line in a brisa that talks about nitbulu in bilayin adayin tomasan aleyin. We just quoted in this brisa Amr Mar. We just quoted in a brisa nitbulu in bilayin adayin tomasan aleyin. Let's say a bell had a clapper in it, and then you remove the clapper from the bell. So that, even though we're talking about the type of bell that's only tameh if it has a clapper in it, if it became tameh beforehand, and then you remove the clapper, it's still tameh. Well, the Maichazu, why should it still be tameh? If you have a kli that's tameh and you smash it into a million pieces, it's not tameh anymore because it's no longer functional. So if you have a bell that was tameh because it was functional and then you remove the clapper and it was a bell for a sefer, let's say, and you remove the clapper, now it's not functional at all. So what value does it have? Why would it still be tameh? So the Gemara is going to have three possible explanations. The first one is in today's daf. So Amar Abaye, hol v'shahed yot yachalach zero. The reason it's still going to be tameh is that it's not really considered to be permanently removed because it's very easy to stick right back in. Even a hedyot, you don't need to be a professional to know how to stick the clapper back in the bell. So Masav Rav is not satisfied with this. Rav has hazug v'inbal chibor. We pask in regards to Tumah and Tahara that the clapper and the bell are considered to be a chibur, they're considered to be connected to each other in the sense that if nitmazeh, nitmazeh. If one of them becomes Tameh, the other becomes Tameh. If you're mazeh, if you sprinkle on one of them, the Efer Para, it's considered to have been sprinkled on both. The fact that we call them a chibur implies that that if they were detached, then it would be considered an incomplete kli. How can you tell me that even when it's detached, nah, it's no big deal, any hedyo could stick it back in, and therefore it's still considered a kli? Sounds like because they're a chibur, they're only a real kli when they're both together. But if they're detached, they're not a good kli. The chitei mahachi kamer, and if you want to tell me, I don't know, what it means to say is as follows, afagav delo mechaber, command the mechaber dami, that even when he says that it's chibur, it just means that even when they're not attached, it's as if they're attached because it's so easy to reattach. Vatanya, we have a brisa that seems seems not that way. Misparah shel parakim, if you have scissors made up of two different pieces, v'izemel shel rehitni, a carpenter's plane, chibur l'tumah v'in chibur l'hazah, are considered a chibur t'tumah and not for hazah. So we already had this. V'arminon, we asked, manavshach, I chibur hu, if it's really considered a chibur, afil l'hazah, then even in regards to the kula of hazah, that when you're being mitired with hazah, it should be considered a chibur. V'ilo chibur hu, and if it's not a chibur, afil l'tumah namilo, then the chumrah of making a tumah should not apply to it either, if it's not a chibur. So v'amr Rabba, Rabba explained, Dvar Torah, b'shas melach chibur, ben l'tumah ben l'hazah. On a daraisa level, at the shas melacha, while you're actually using it, it's a chibur both for tumah and for hazah. Shalo b'shas melacha, einu chibur, lo l'tumah v'lo l'hazah. When it's not the shas melacha, it's not considered a chibur for either one. The gazra al tumah, shalo b'shas melacha, mishum tumah shi b'shas melacha, v'al hazah shi b'shas melacha, mishum hazah, shalo b'shas melacha. And all of these are just gzeros midrabanan. So at the end of the day, Rava asks on the explanation of Abaye that we have an explicit brisa with a mesparah shel praka, a two-part scissor, shalo b'shas melacha, einu chibur lo l'tumah v'lo l'hazah. At the time they're not in use and they're separated, they're not considered connected at all, even if they could easily become reconnected. So don't tell me the fact that they could easily become reconnected means anything. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow's daf, we're going to give two other explanations of the brisa's psak, that the bell doesn't lose its tumah status when the clapper is removed.